Welcome to Monday Morning Centre Back with my bro, amigo, my favourite Liverpool fan, Andre Dixon.
Hello. Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Well, we How obviously, are you? I'm good. I'm good. We obviously, on Monday Morning Centre Back, we review all the weekend's action. And to quote my favourite MC, Kano, we celebrate on Mondays in case Friday flopped.
Love it.
Dre, how was your weekend?
It was amazing. You know, it was obviously it was Mother's Day yesterday. Everyone was celebrating out, taking their mums out, taking their wives out, girlfriends, so forth. I'm gonna stretch this out as long as I possibly can, this soliloquy of mine, because I know what's coming and I know where you're gonna go. 2 weeks has been a lot happens over 2 weeks.
A lot happened, and if I recall, you were quite reckless on the last one. So we're going to get into that.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I spent most of my weekend in Sheffield. I did the FA Cup game yesterday, Sheffield United versus Blackburn, and I had quite a long trip back. I had to make it back for Mother's Day dinner, and I had quite a long trip back. So we'll start, as we always do, with a bit of self-indulgence. So, Dre, don't think, yeah, because Liverpool didn't play this weekend, that I'm not going to come for you about what happened last week after your 7-0 fashion of Man United. You lot went and lost to Bournemouth. I mean, what happened?
I noticed, you know, Eddie made sure that this became the first topic. And I thought, you know what? I thought, you know what? She's going to forget about it because we're not playing this week. No. The treatment I get is real. This damn team of mine, unfortunately, I don't know whether it's Klopp moving the midfield around and playing two kids, effectively Elliot and Bajcik. I can't pronounce his name ever. I always get it wrong. Or is it just complacency? Or we just, that's it. It just might be that's it.
Whoever's playing, you can't lose to Bournemouth. I mean, no disrespect, but you can't go and beat Man United and lose to Bournemouth. You know what I mean? But in saying that, you're still 7 points off Spurs, who are, you know, in anarchy right now, in fighting. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
7 points off Spurs with two games in hand. So you still can make top four. Do you still confident about top four?
No, not anymore. And this is where it is. That 2 weeks, a lot happens in 2 weeks. Because before I was like talking, Matt, I was talking reckless. You know, I was talking about us getting buckets of goals. And then now I'm just, I don't think I've worn my Liverpool shirt for a little while. Before I was like, Liverpool cat, Liverpool shirt. Now I'm just like, don't mind me. Don't mind me. I'll just sit in the corner and just be quiet over here. I'll just take my seat.
But you put in a kind of respectable performance against Real Madrid, though. It was only 1-0. Yes. You know what I mean? And I thought you said that before. You said that on the last episode that as long as Liverpool come out with some respect to their name, they're always going to go out anyway. So,
But the thing is, Annie, is that they literally was just toying with us. Like, it was a practice game. It wasn't, obviously, there wasn't anything in there, but they could have scored at any time. They could have scored another five. So the problem we've got is that, and I've had to accept, and there's a lot of Liverpool fans that just for some reason just don't want to accept that time is undefeated, and you know players get older, teams get older, squads get older, and then you know your what's the word I'm looking for? The period of time of dominance sometimes comes to an end. I'm forgetting what my words are today, but I just think we're at that point where the team needs a refresh, need new midfield. Virgil's several years older. You know, he's not going to be able to perform like he is before, like, you know, forever. And, the dynasty, that's what I was looking for. has ended. So we just need to rebuild again. Yeah, it's done. It doesn't mean you're rubbish, because obviously at Chelsea, you guys have had that, you know, where you've had a set team for a period of time where you could actually pretty much blindly name the defence, you can blindly name the midfield, you can, majority of the time, because you guys are always buying strikers, you can name one or two, so a little dig there. But I just think that there comes a point where even that has to end, and you just have to rejig the whole squad. Yeah.
I read this morning that Jude Bellingham is unlikely to be signed by Liverpool now, because Liverpool don't want to get in a bidding war with Real Madrid and Man City. And I'm like, wow, okay.
Well. I still think he's done. I think he's coming to Liverpool. I think he's fully in.
The only reason I think he's coming is because it's Jude Bellingham. And I think he's a guy that doesn't care that... Not that he doesn't care, but he's not going to make a decision based on how much money he's going to get. Or I feel like he's a proper footballer where he's going to think about the project and he's going to think about the manager and the players. And so I think Liverpool still have a chance of signing, but there will be a bidding war. Because everybody wants Jude Bellingham, basically.
But I think people put Real Madrid's name into everything just to be able to drive the price up and all that type of stuff. And I think personally, from what I understand, it's done. You know, he's going to be coming. I think he's a little bit of a Liverpool fan, and I think that he can actually see that. Actually, you know, look what those guys built before. Klopp built that before. He can build it again. So it's not like he's, you know, it's the start of a project. You know, that's never been like this. Squad has won everything there is to win. So I think that he wants to be a part of that, and he can be the leader of the new school. You know, definitely there's this big, massive space for him to be starting. Like, before, we weren't getting players because they didn't know if they're going to get in the team. Now, my friends, you're starting.
100%. 100%. I'm slightly happier with Chelsea. That Chelsea now not lost in four. But last minute equaliser against Everton at the weekend wasn't great. Obviously, the win in midweek was fantastic against Dortmund. And we're looking better. We're looking better.
But you're still 10th.
This is the thing. Nothing's moving. This is the thing. I look at the league table, I'm like, okay, this feels better, but we're not moving. And I think that's because of Brighton, Brentford, Fulham. They're doing so well, like those teams. And you know what? I always think with these teams, it makes Chelsea's spending look a bit silly, because these teams are so clever in their recruitment. Brighton, you know, have always been really smart. You know, the way they buy and sell players. They had De Zerbi lined up after Potter. Brentford are very similar, you know, likes of Ivan Toney came up through the lower leagues. Fulham have been up and down, obviously, through the leagues, but, you know, they finally figured out how to stay in the Premier League, although they lost their heads at the weekend. Did you see it? Boy. They lost their heads.
But the pressure, now's the pressure time. It's because... If you look at it, obviously, you know, majority of the times, actually in past seasons, it's pretty much been like people just going through the motions from this point onwards. I mean, you're a player, you would be able to know this, where it looks like from a fan's point of view, a lot of the teams, after a certain time, when you realise that, all right, okay, we're going to finish in mid-table, or, you know, we're not going to get relegated, so we're just going to, you know, just do the bare minimum, just coast through games. And I feel like now there's a bigger spotlight, and a lot of players have got more of an ambition. And actually, like, teams like Fulham, Brentford, Brighton, especially if you're looking at Brighton, like, Brighton could actually have aspirations to be in Europe. So it's even Fulham, like, they're not far off from each other. It's between 39 and 42 points they've got. So, yeah, I just think that now people are at this crunch time all over. And it's actually good for football, because normally it's City running away with it. Obviously, Arsenal's still winning. But, you know, at least you've got in the mid-pack something good to be able to kind of focus on as well.
Yeah, I think I really respect those teams. And I think the reason why they're holding Chelsea back from sort of climbing up the table, you know, they're doing so well. Brighton smashed Grimsby yesterday. you know, they're through to the semi-finals. You
that's
going to
be a walk in the park. Well, actually, you would think it's going to be a walk in the park for Man United, but as we can see,
you never
know nowadays.
I don't think so. But for Man United fans, to be in another semi-final of a cup, very good, you know, in Ten Hag's first season, very, very impressive. So both Manchester teams in the FA Cup, that kind of looks like a very spicy final, potentially, Man United, Man City. So we'll see.
You desperately want them to meet at any point, because I think that Man United have got a point to prove. They're always trying to keep City down. It never works. City just like literally just like a practice session with Man United. I think, you know what? Here's a challenge, City. Here's a challenge. Beat our score against Man United. I think they can do it. I think they beat our score, beat 7-0. Go for 8 or 9. They could actually do it. I would love that. I'm putting this challenge. You know, you've got a lot of football friends. Someone of the team is going to see it.
If Manchester United lose 8-0, it was bad enough for them to lose 7-0 to Liverpool. To then lose 8-0 to their other rival, things would have to get shut down.
We'd have to
Manchester
see.
Manchester would have to get shut down. The players you would have what? To...
I think
something
we
would have to happen.
I want to see what the odds are for City to beat Man United 8-0. That merciless. Like, just keep on going.
But the way City, you know, the way City tumped up was it Leipzig? They tumped up.
You could do it.
They tumped up. You know, they had no mercy on Vincent Kompany, like none at all.
No,
you know, 7. Was it 7? No,
against Burnley. Yeah,
against Burnley.
Yeah, they. I think after a little while, you just realize it's just training for them. I'm telling you, I think personally, if Man United play how they did against us, where they kept on going forward no matter what. I've never seen it since I was like in a 16-year-old playing football, where you're just like you're getting tumped and you just want to score one goal just so you can feel good about yourself. So everyone's bombing up and then literally it's just the keeper and four of their attackers.
That's not actually a bad shout, you know. That it could happen.
So we put a bet on.
The way City are playing, where Haaland's just scoring hat tricks in his sleep, it could happen.
Lighting this out of 10. Let's put your name to this. That City can beat our score against Man United.
I'm not sure about this, you know. This is reckless talk. We might have to save this for reckless.
Let's do it, reckless.
This is getting out publicly. I'm not sure. I think Man United would have learned their lesson.
And he's going to have to go there soon.
So I thought it might be wise to keep the don't jealous me section talking about Arsenal, because I'm still jealous of Arsenal. Chelsea are 10th, Arsenal 8 points clear. Arteta's the first manager to win 9 London derbies. That's amazing.
Right. You know what I would say? I'm still going to stand with my position that City are going to win it. And I know there are people falling by the wayside. And this includes Gary Neville, who I didn't see this, but I read that he said Arsenal going to win the league, which I think is silly.
Who, Gary Neville? Gary Neville said City are going to win the league, no?
No, he came out and said Arsenal are going to win the league. I think, from what I read.
This weekend?
Yeah, the weekend. I think it was yesterday or something.
Oh, he came out and said it.
However, you know, Gary, relax. To stay firm with your opinion, because there's still time now. There's still time. I'm telling you now, I said this a little while ago, when it gets to April's games, where it's back-to-back and there's bank holidays and all that type of stuff, and then you got to play against us. Like, we're like, I don't know, 9 days. So 1 minute we're beating up, you know, Man United 8-0.
But to be fair, though.
And then we could beat them too.
But to be fair, 8 points clear at this point in the season. And, you know, they're scoring goals for fun. Bukayo Saka's now double figures in goals and assists. He's looking unstoppable. You know, they're out of the... The only thing is, though, all their eggs are now in the league basket because they were out. They got knocked out of the Europa League. You know, so they've really got to go for it now. They've only got the league left. I'm trying to find a tweet that I saw, and it was quite funny actually, about Arsenal. I can't find it now. But it was basically saying when they got knocked out of the FA Cup, they said, oh, we're focusing on the league. When they got knocked out of the League Cup, oh, we're focusing on the league. When they got knocked out of the Europa League, oh, we're focusing on the league. Now you've actually got to, you've got to win the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. As I said before, it's not me being a hater. It's just through experience of having the torture of tight runs for the last several years. And Man United fans, you know, jokes aside, they will be able to tell you what it's like in the running because they had it 20 years on. Now, I think that there's still room because Arsenal have to play us. Who have they also got to play? They've got to play Chelsea.
Well, this is the thing. April's big. April's big. There can't be no April Fools for Arsenal because they got Liverpool, Chelsea, and City.
Yep.
So April is the test. Is the acid test for this Arsenal team? It is really, you know, obviously end of the season in May. So this is it.
Predictions is this from me. I think that we're going to... It's on my birthday, unfortunately, on April Fool's Day.
Is it? Is that your birthday? Yeah,
we're moving on to that really quickly because I know you're going to clown me. City are playing us on the Saturday on my birthday. So they'll beat us, I think. And then, but I still think we're going to beat Arsenal. And then City are going to beat Arsenal. And then that'll be the end of that.
Okay.
I don't think City will lose a game from now until the end of the season.
To be fair, the way they're playing, you know, I hear that.
Agreed.
But that's the thing. Even if City win every game,
yeah,
and Arsenal win every game, that puts pressure on Arsenal to then win every game.
Yeah.
They're still ahead.
If they lose a game, if they lose two, so if they lose, what are they? 8 points clear. City got a game in hand,
so it's really realistically 5 points clear if City win their game.
So it's five, and if City beat them, then we're down to two.
Two.
We beat them, then you're below, and that's what's going to happen. I think Arsenal cannot afford to even draw against us. They have to beat us, and as I said before, and the last time I spoke reckless, is that if you beat us, then I say, all right, you're going to win the league. But if you don't beat us, then you're not going to do it. And even if you lose by 1 point, Arsenal fans, because of all the talking you lot have been doing, Tottenham fans are going to be coming for you. Liverpool fans are going to be coming for you. Chelsea fans definitely going to be coming for you.
Okay, if Arsenal don't win the league, that is pretty bad. You know, that's quite humiliating for them.
Is that worse than when we lost it?
Season.
When Gerrard slipped. Yeah, I know you enjoyed that bit.
No, I don't actually. I really like Gerrard. I think it is worse, yeah. I think it is worse because from day one to now, Arsenal have pretty much been ahead. The only thing I would say is that because it's a young team and a lot of, you know, Arteta's a young coach.
Yeah.
You can say, oh, they got scared and, oh, you know, they didn't have the experience, even though there's a few like Zinchenko and Jesus that have won the league, you know, obviously Jorginho as well. That could be a ready-made excuse.
No excuses. But I'm not interested.
For how long we've been talking about Arsenal
winning
this league, if they now flop in April and become April Fools, that's embarrassing.
Right, okay. Is it so
that would be very embarrassing.
I just want to make this clear, right? So it's worse than when we lost the league under Brendan Rodgers. Is it worse than when Tottenham lost the league against Leicester?
No, because Leicester, that was a fairy tale story. That was a one-off. That was Leicester were pretty consistent throughout that season as well. Yeah, it was like neck and neck race. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I don't know whether you. I mean, I don't know.
So is it the worst loss of all time?
I think Liverpool's was pretty bad because it was, you know, it was quite. You can remember it so clearly because Gerrard slipped and. You know, the week before, I remember him getting in that huddle. I mean, you'll remember, you're a big Liverpool fan. He got in that huddle and he was crying and saying, this is it. And so it was all very, like, dramatic.
Okay, you're bringing up a lot of...
Is this dramatic for you? Sorry.
when we beat City, Coutinho scored.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right, we go again.
It was very dramatic. It was like a film and it was all this build-up. It was like having a really good movie and then the ending's dead. And you're like, why did I sit through all of that? That's how it felt.
Bloody Palace's fault. That's what it was. Getting involved in things that didn't concern them in any form of way. But you know what? All right, cool. So
I think that's the worst. I think that's the worst because that game against Palace where you drew 3-3 and Suarez was crying, that game was ridiculous. That should never have happened.
Yes.
And that game is when you actually... like officially kind of lost the league.
Yeah, we definitely.
So I think Arsenal losing the league.
Nah, Arsenal, like, we were ahead. No, hold a second. Here's my defense with that. If that was us against almighty City that we were playing against, you know, we had no right in any form of way to be even contending for the league at that point. Now,
yeah, true.
We were never ahead. Like, we were never that far ahead. Like, it was always, as I said, Terminator 2. Like, you know,
yes.
No matter what. Now, this guy, City have given him like several opportunities. So, I think personally it's worse. If they lose the league from this, with now technically 8 points at this point in the time on the 20th of March, I think it's the worst ever. So, you're going to hold this. If you lose this Arsenal, you're going to hold it.
I think that might be a fair shout.
The whole summer.
That might be a fair shout. I mean, Arsenal fans will disagree. I think that Liverpool loss was something that will always be remembered.
Yeah.
So I think that might be the worst flop league.
You're just saying that because your team had a part of that and bloody Mourinho was walking over celebrating like he won something, even though he'd just come fourth. And he went over to your fans in our ground. I hated him.
That's Mourinho.
And he wouldn't give us the ball back as well. Trying to get the ball.
That's Mourinho there. I don't think it's going to happen. Like I said, I think Arsenal will win the league. But April is massive. Like, you can't have bigger games than Liverpool, Chelsea and City in 1 month. That's mad.
You win all those. If you came out with all three of those games, with more points, with... I'm gonna say, if we're 5 points out of them, out of those games, then I'll say, all right, cool. You guys are worthy champions.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're gonna do it. I think there's gonna be some problems every time you play against a big team, and we're not take out Man United because. Yeah.
Let's talk about the other North London team.
Okay.
Talking the hardest, Antonio Conte. Wow. My man is firing shots. He fired shots at the owners. He fired shots at the players.
They want to fire him.
Do you know what though, Jay? Do you know what? Like, when you sit back and like take out this sort of like shock of him just going on a rant like that,
yeah.
Is that wrong?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
He said he's right. But he's just trying to get fired.
Yeah, which is not professional, to be honest. Like, you can't
Eddie,
sit there.
Eddie, we've all had jobs where we've hated the job. We've all had jobs. Before you was a footballer, I'm very sure that you had a job that you were like, I hate this job and I don't care if it's a paper round. Like, you want to get out of this thing. And I think that because of the contract.
I've never deliberately tried to get fired, though. I'll just be honest and go in and say, this is not for me.
Yeah.
But this whole, like, trying to get someone to sack you, it's a bit like... Because the thing is, he sat there criticising the players for not being professional, not having commitment, not doing all of these things. But for you as a manager, you need to, like, no matter how bad it is, and my man's getting paid millions.
Yeah.
No matter how bad it is, you need to, like, set the team up in a way where you still have professional pride in yourself as a coach. I think what's happening is the players are down in tools.
Mm-hmm.
And Antonio Conte is a very emotional coach. Like, it was the same at Chelsea. He won the league at Chelsea in the first year and then fell out with people and then, you know, left.
Yep.
So he's a very emotional coach, but at the same time, he's not being professional by coming out and sort of openly throwing the players under the bus. Although I think he's challenging something that needs to be challenged, which is a long-standing mediocre mentality at Spurs.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Where they just never win. I can't get over the fact that Daniel Levy sat Mourinho like the week of the final. Why would you do that?
It's things like that.
You just think.
But the fans are going to start, and I think they have already started to look at Levy and just be like, okay, well, it's enough time now. I think that there are chairmen that have came in with less time that of overseeing the management of or ownership of any club. And actually won trophies before, well, whilst Levy's still been there. And Levy hasn't even come close. I mean, he got to a Champions League final. They could have won the league against Leicester. But, you know, with the Champions League, obviously, that anyone could win that in the final, that is. But obviously, against like Liverpool at their best, it was highly unlikely you're going to beat them. And then Leicester, there was no excuse for the amount of money that had been pumped into that team. It's really ownership or the management or the stewardship of the actual club has to have a change, I think, personally.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that could change, although I doubt it. That's much harder to change than managers and players. But Spurs not winning anything can't just be down to the managers, which I think Antonio Conte made a great point. It can't just be Mourinho's fault. Nuno Santos' fault, Pochettino's fault, Conte's fault. These are amazing managers. Do you know what I mean? There's something not right there. But yet they've got amazing players. Have a Kane, Son, Kulusevski, Perisic. Like,
you're wasting some of these players. And then someone like Son is going to turn around and be like, you know what? To be honest with you, like, if Son went to City, us. You know, Arsenal or something like that. Obviously, highly unlikely with Arsenal, but I think that he's a very, very good player, world class.
What do you think about the shout of Harry Kane going to Man United?
I think Harry Kane has to start looking at his career and look before. I think, you know, it's two seasons ago where it was just seen to be unthinkable that you would actually try to leave the club. Now you actually understand why, because it's, I don't know what it is. I literally don't know what it is about this club. It is like, you know, when you're talking, I was just literally thinking like, who's to blame? Like, what can you change?
It's a culture.
It's a culture. The
fans, so it's not one person. You can't blame one person, but it's a culture, and cultures are very difficult to shift. Chelsea had a culture where it was about winning, and if you didn't win, you're off. And everybody knew that, right?
Yeah.
So every single action, every single behavior, the way you talk, the way you analyze, everything you do, whenever I rock through the gates of Chelsea, it's about winning. That's the culture. So whereas if your culture is kind of like, we're all right with not winning anything, and we're all right with top four, and we're all right with not winning winning cup competitions, or we make decisions based on, you know, ego. Obviously, Dan Levy, sacking Mourinho, that might have been, I don't want Mourinho to win a cup. Like, but that doesn't make, like, a winning owner goes, I don't care if I don't like him, we just need to win this cup, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think
you've got to back your manager over the players.
Yeah.
And I think that if the players may feel that that they can kind of supersede the coach. So the coach is going to get more likely to get put out more of it than you. And I think, if you look at the actual, I was thinking of, I forget his name now, the right back that they had, or left back, sorry, left back they had, Danny something, I can't forget his name. And I remember they had the documentary, Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. All or Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot what his name is, the left back that they had. But he came in. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So he came in and he was just like, you know, straight away, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Why am I not playing? And I think that is pretty much sums up Spurs, where the players feel that they are, I mean, these players are on stupid money, you know, but there's no accountability. So therefore it's the players that they pick. Maybe they need to move on from Kane and actually
Danny Rose.
Danny Rose, that's the one. Yeah, he came in, and I'm not knocking you, Danny Rose, but it was like when he came in, he was just like to Mourinho. Like, what's the problem? Why am I not?
Yeah,
playing?
He didn't come across well, did he?
Like, I mean, think in that
that's
in
what
that,
Kane tried to do as well, though. Kane, you know, Kane trying to leave I don't think it was a great look on Kane. But just on that, like, I don't personally think Kane going to Man United is like a step up for Kane from Tottenham. If you think about like day one of next season, which is, you know, what he's not going to leave before the end of next season. This season, sorry. Day one of next season, with potentially a new manager, which we'll get onto.
Yeah.
Are Tottenham are Man United in a much, much, much stronger position to win a trophy or win the league? Let's talk about the league than Tottenham.
Yeah, I think with Tottenham, there's
not it's not a guarantee, is it, that Man United are going to win the league?
Well, it's guaranteed that Man United are going to be contending. You know, the ambition is to contend, and then Tottenham don't even get to contend. So
I think with a new manager next season, Tottenham could contend.
Yeah, but
if they keep Harry Kane,
I just don't. I just think it's just. I think they need a reset. I think they need to let Kane go. They need to
put it this way:
when everything is built through one player all the time.
Yeah.
Then I feel personally that you're leaving yourself kind of open to being shut off at some point. Because players' forms go up and down. I think if you have a collective like Chelsea, you think Chelsea in their prime, you know, the Mourinho Chelsea, there were a team collectively. It didn't matter who scored, Joe Cole, Crespo, whoever it is, it didn't matter. Someone's going to score. And the team will score. It could be John Terry, it could be Carvalho or anyone. Like, they were a team. And I think that's the difference. If you look at Liverpool's, you know, for the last few years, it's been a team. The team is more important, not individuals. Like Salah may score, but he's part of a collective team. And I feel that Spurs have got individual talents, but they don't have a team. And I think that's the difference. Like Arsenal have a team. Like, you know, it doesn't matter who scores. That as a team, you want to win.
Spurs is very much built around Harry Kane. I just don't think, like, I think there's a difference between Harry Kane going to Man City or having the opportunity to go to Man City, which was definitely a step up. Obviously, that ship has sailed and they've got Haaland. And going to Man United, like, there's no guarantee going to Man United is going to win. I mean, as it stands now, of course, that like Man United are more likely to win anything than Spurs. But I think come next season, if Pochettino comes back, for example, that might be a completely different Spurs team that might contend again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, I think with Man United, it's like there's a legacy and a history, and there's an expectation. It's the same thing that we have, where you're expecting to challenge for the league every single season, and I think that he will go into a different mentality where it's not okay for you to lose. You know, any time that you lose, there's going to be everything's going to be looked through for a fine tooth comb by their fans. There's expectations to win, and then they build teams to win. So Spurs can spend money, definitely they do, but they're not going to be in the same class historically and mentally as a Man United.
Speaking of Pochettino, do you think it's good? Do you think you should go back to the ex-manager? Do you think Spurs should go back to the ex-manager? Do you think Pochettino should go back to his former club? It doesn't always work.
I just think that the problem they've got is that yes, you can do that, and I think that they've played the best under him. But the another problem is that you're going back to someone who hasn't won anything, so you can't handle winners. So what's the message going back to Pochettino? Like, I'm surprised Pochettino got the
well, he did win PSG at PSG, job. Didn't he? He did win at PSG.
Yeah, but come on, that's just like a walk in the park, isn't it?
No, you but know? I mean, you can't say he's not won it. He did win something at PSG. I know it's a walk in the park and it's very different to the Premier League, but I think it's very different for a lot of managers. Mm. I think the reality is Spurs have now had two managers who are proven winners in Mourinho and Conte. It's been toxic. Do you know what I mean?
That's true. That's
so
true.
Now...
And they didn't have all that under Poch.
They didn't have all that under Poch. Now you've got to go back to the person you loved and your ex and, I still like them a little bit. And you got to go back to that because, first of all, it's going to appease the fans. The fans are calling for him to come back. He took them to a Champions League final without actually having...
That's right.
...as good as players as he does now. So he's now going to inherit the likes of Kulusevski and... Bentancur, these players that have come in since he's left, who actually, if Pochettino had them whilst he was manager, they could have won the Champions League. I mean, we don't know, but I think that that's probably the move that Daniel Levy's got to make. He's got to go back to his ex. But it doesn't always work. And we don't know as well whether they actually fell out. Like, I've heard that Pochettino was a bit moody around the, you know, he never really got over losing that Champions League final. Mm-hmm. He was moody around the training ground. He wasn't the same person. Whether that's damaged the relationship, because we all commentate and go, "Oh yeah, get Pochettino, get him back," but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's that easy. Because if you've fallen out and the relationship's not, you know, wasn't good when you left, it's very hard to then kind of pretend that didn't happen.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see whether Spurs are going to... I think it's safe to say Conte is going to go at the end of the season and he's not signing the contract anyway.
He wants to go. He wants to go now.
My man's dying to go. the way he's talking the hardest. obviously, Luis Enrique has been discussed as well.
Now, But all right, here's another thing, Annie, is that... You keep on hiring new managers. There's a new philosophy that comes in all the time. What normally happens is that there's a philosophy that's from the ownership, and then you get the manager to actually, you know, carry that philosophy through. The problem is that each time, and this is pretty much like hits the nail on the head now, I've been thinking about it. Each time you bring a new manager, you got to bring in new players. The players that are there already, he doesn't really like. You have to get rid of them. And so, like, it's like starting a house, building a house, and then being like, and then getting a new foreman in, a new manager in, and then the manager. Actually, no, we should be using that material. We should be using this.
So, do you think then that Spurs should do what Arsenal have done, which is go with a young manager builder, like Arteta, who they're going to stick with regardless, and you know, work with a sporting director who they're going to work closely together, so every player that comes in is part of a 3-5 year plan versus manager to manager. So rather than going with a Pochettino, who is a big enough manager to go get rid of him, bring him in, and there's so much change again, do you think they should go with a younger manager? I'm trying to think of someone now off the top of my head who's sort of an up-and-coming young manager. I don't know. Yeah, there's no one that springs to mind that's sort of done
it's got
well.
To be like how Bayern Munich, when they hired the manager there. Like, it's got to be someone who's staying there for a long period of time, bar getting almost relegated. You're heading that way, then out you go. But I think that it's got to be time. Fans also have to be patient. So the next manager that comes in is on a 6-year contract or whatever it is, and we're gonna support and just go through the actual process. And I think
Pochettino is a builder, though, to be fair.
He could do that because I swear, I can't remember how many players he has left there, but like the imprint on the club is still there.
Well, the main thing is that he got the best out of Son and Kane.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
Son
he's got
Kane,
some serious players there. Serious.
Son has not performed under Conte at all. So, but a big part of a manager's job, everyone talks about recruitment, but a manager makes recruitment look good.
Yeah.
Anyone can sign big players, but if you can't coach those players in a system that works cohesively together and you can't bring the best out of that person and that player, you're not doing your job.
Yeah.
So Pochettino getting the best out of Son and Kane, for example, is a big part of why he could be, you know, the best option to go back to, even though he's, you know, he's not really done much since he's left Spurs, other than win a, you know, I can't remember how much he won at PSG, but during his time at PSG,
you've got to have learned from things, like, definitely, like, yeah. He was there obviously when Messi came. I'm sure that you can pick up things from some of these elite players, and you can actually, you know, help players that are maybe the tier down from that, you know, because none of them are, not one player is anywhere near anything at PSG. So therefore, he can actually help lift them up a little bit more. Maybe Son could get in that team. Maybe. But yeah, at his best. Not Kane. Please, people don't bring up Kane. And put just stop it.
Another manager that got sacked was Patrick Vieira this last week. What's your views on that one? Do you think it's harsh?
Hope you go down, Palace. I really do. I honestly, like, what are you expecting? Like, we'll talk. Like,
he hasn't won this year, though. He hasn't won. It's not a good record at all.
Yeah, but you're not going to get relegated. You're 12th as it stands at the moment. Like, what is it you're looking for? Like, he's brought on... Like, you've taken away Conor Gallagher, which is one of his best players. He was playing really well last season. Like, he hasn't really had the money to be able to buy players. Some of the players haven't... You know, he's still playing some players who are not fit to play in the Premier League. He's forced to play them because he hasn't got bodies. He's got two new guys. I can't remember then some of their names, but... you know, that young players that come through and they're playing very well. One scored a last-minute equaliser against Man United, I think, from a free kick. It was just like there's very good players there.
Yeah, I thought it was harsh, to be honest. And the thing
I think it's wrong.
A lot of clubs now don't actually let managers go through a difficult patch. They sack them in the difficult patch. Yeah. I mean, it's tough because there's only 4 points separating 9 teams down there. And there's some big names down there: West Ham, Everton, Southampton, Leeds, Wolves, like Palace.
He's doing better than them.
Yeah, but I think if you're looking at it, it's only 4 points between you and the bottom of the league in Southampton. So I can see why they're panicking, but I think
but they keep on doing the same thing and they're bringing back the same people. Yeah, again.
Given what Vieira did last season, you'd hope that he would have been given time. And they've had a really difficult run as well. They've had really tough teams to play. So you just think, why don't you just, particularly with an international break, give him, you know, have a word with him in the international break. Say, listen, you know, we've got some games, winnable games coming up. We need to win them. And then obviously, if you don't win them, then obviously make the same decision you've made now. But it feels a bit hard. And then you think, who's going to come in and do like much better than Vieira?
Hodgson.
I mean, I just thought to myself, I mean, first of all, let the man enjoy his retirement.
why doesn't he just say no? Why does he always keep going?
I read these things and I think, is it just like rumours or is this actually true? Because if they bring Roy Hodgson back, I think Roy Hodgson's a really nice man. I've met him a few times. But he's not, you know, I think actually Crystal Palace needed to move on from him in terms of the way he played. And I think Vieira did that. So it makes absolutely no sense to go back to playing that very rigid 4-4-2, very old school.
Yeah, but he's just good at keeping them up. And I understand from another point of view, obviously, as much as I'm biased towards Vieira, because I think, you know, he's a good manager.
Maybe if he comes in as an interim manager until the end of the season just to keep him up, that's a different conversation.
Well, I think that's what probably will happen. But, like, you know, I just think it is a shame that they, like, kind of jumped and bit the bullet. But, yeah, from another point of view, you are kind of looking to stop the flow and you are going to be getting a bit nervous if you're losing game after game or not winning at all. And then you're getting closer and closer now that I look at the league. You could get pulled down really easy.
And the teams down there are all beating each other. It was a big win for Leeds at the weekend against Wolves.
Yep.
Everton obviously came back twice against Chelsea. Last minute equaliser from Sim.
Everton on. Remember, Everton rock bottom before me. We was just like writing them off. I think the last time we spoke.
Yeah, so it's scary down there.
Looked like it. So yeah, I get it. I understand it. It's quite disappointing. I think, you know, that you should have been given a little bit more time. Definitely after the international break. But like, you know, Palace are like, listen, we're going to lose too much money. But it just looked like, when I look at that squad, it's just that I'm not sure what he can actually do bar stay up, what the expectation is, you know. I can see why Zaha is like, look, I've had enough of this. So I just want to just do something different. Like, come on.
Been trying to leave for years, though. He's been trying to get that big move for years. After his Man United thing flopped a little bit on him, he's been trying to, you know, I feel like every single transfer window, we're talking about Zaha, where is he going to go?
And this, what, is he 31 now or something?
Yeah, I mean, I think that ship might have sailed if he wants to go to a top six club. But maybe a place like Tottenham could be good for him.
I just don't see them. But like, I think that it would be good for them to get someone who's actually... I don't know where he would go.
I think Chelsea were in for him last...
Do you remember one point that he was going to be going to Everton? Everton almost got...
Yeah, but why would you go to Everton from Crystal Palace? That's not a...
I mean, Everton are a bigger club. Yeah, they're rubbish at the moment.
But like,
they're a bigger club.
Where they're at now. Yeah, but Zaha's not going to go from Crystal Palace to Everton. That don't make no sense. You want to go from Crystal Palace to a Tottenham or Arsenal.
He just wants to go.
He's probably... Do you know what? And sometimes it gets like that. Sometimes you're just like,
what's that like? You know, like as a player, like when you get to a point where you're like, all right, I'm done.
You know, football's very much like we're creatures of habit. Do you know what I mean? So for a long time, we do the same thing. We turn up to training. And if you love the club, that's very much what you like to do. But when things, sometimes it does feel a little bit like Groundhog Day and you do need a fresh start. And if you're ambitious and you know, you're one of the best players in the league, like Zaha is, I think, you know, in terms of an attacking player, you're always thinking, I feel like I'm outgrowing the club.
Yeah.
You know, he's not bigger than the club because I think he loves the club, but I think he's outgrown the club. Yeah, he's had a bit of a taste of what, you know, big clubs are with Man United. That didn't really go well. And he's probably always thought, I can still go on somewhere else. So, but I think it's been left too long. Most clubs now are looking at young players. But you look at what Chelsea are doing. Chelsea are only bringing in young players. That's their strategy. So why would Chelsea, for example, go for Wolf Zaha?
Yeah, you're right.
Do you know what I mean? Because he's sort of past that stage. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does. It's going to be interesting to see what Crystal Palace do. But if they get Roy Hodgson, I'm just like, that's just a fear. That's more of a fear thing. Like, let's just go back to what's safe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
And it's not really... They're obviously just doing that just to stay in the league. But I didn't, you know, I don't look at the relegation battle and go, Crystal Palace are in it. Do you know what I mean? I think there's teams that...
The owner's definitely doing that. The owner's looking and being like, you know what? Well, it's only when you said it. Because I was, you know, obviously you just take, being honest, a lot of the times, if your team's one of the top running teams, you're not really looking down because you're not, unless you're happy to be down there, you're not looking down that much. Now, when you look down, you look at just the eye test. You look at Palace, you're like, oh, the 12th. It's not that bad. But that's if you look at it...
Yeah, they could go down mathematically.
And then if you look at the squads, like, you know, Forest got a fighting team. Yeah, Everton's got a resurgence. Leeds are definitely a very good team. Wolves could beat them as well. So you're looking at, like, West Ham got...
Southampton.
Southampton, I don't know.
They got a good result, but they had to come back against Spurs.
And Bournemouth, like, just stole a point from us, but they can do that. You know,
I think Bournemouth are down there, to be fair. I can't see them. I don't know if they've got enough of what the other teams have. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. The drop down. So now it's time for some reckless talk. We got to keep this in. And I looked at the reckless talk from the last episode, you talking about Liverpool-Arsenal. And so we're going to talk about Chelsea-Liverpool.
Ooh,
on the 4th okay. of April. The game, I'm actually going to that game. I'm very excited. So I'm talking reckless. I think we're going to win that game. I think we're back on form. Although I'm a little bit annoyed about the draw at the weekend, but we're not losing. You know, players are playing well. Havertz is playing well. Kovacic is playing well. Fernandez is playing well. So I think our core players, Kante's back. So I think we'll have your number on the 4th of April.
Oh, you know, okay. Let me,
I'm ready to be reckless with that.
Let's just make this quite clear, right? If we play the team, the exact team that we play against, you know, against United, 3-0. Because I just don't see you.
At Stamford Bridge.
You ain't scoring that much.
This is unbelievably reckless.
You know, just get ready, get your popcorn ready, get comfortable, Chelsea fans, because you know the up and down roller coaster of Liverpool's coming, and then at this point we're going up, and things are going down for you lot.
I love the confidence despite your last defeat being Bournemouth.
No, you know what? To be honest with you, I think that it was a blip. We'll come back. You know, you've seen what we can do. We could score whenever we want, and then we have Luis Diaz back as well. So he's got a point to prove.
Oh wow, is he back?
Yeah, you'll see that. You see when things change.
He's been out for ages. Goodness me, he's been out for people, before the World Cup.
Potential little clip that we have here is the look slightly. Of fear.
that scares me slightly because the way Koulibaly got bullied.
Nunes will be all right by then. He got sent home by Uruguay, so he'll be okay for us. He'll be okay for the City game, and then he'll be okay for you lot too.
It's going to be a tight one.
Training.
I'm confident.
Even though we got Diaz.
That worries me slightly, I'm going to be honest. Diaz is a good player. Your front three is very good. You know, Salah, Nunes, Diaz, or Salah, Nunes, Jota.
Yeah. You got Gakpo as well.
You got Gakpo as well. Whereas Chelsea's back three. They're all right. I mean, Koulibaly, I don't like the way he got bounced the other day against that Sims guy.
3-0.
You're dragging it with the 3-0. I think you could win. You could win.
Yeah.
Equally, we could win as well.
No, you can't win. Because you not got score goals.
Why it's recorded so that we can pull up the clip again on the 5th of April or whenever our next Monday morning centre-back is after 4th of April. And we'll pull it up and we'll decide whether it was reckless or whether it was smart wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, prophecy.
I love it.
Are you going to the game?
You're going to hook me up some tickets?
I think I'll be able to get tickets. I mean, how many? I don't know. There's a few people that have asked me for tickets. So.
Oh, no. There's a priority system here. You know, your co-host.
You're a Liverpool fan, so you can't be coming in the blue end.
I'll be quiet.
Behaving one kind. I'll
be quiet. Your fans scare me, so I will definitely be quiet. Listen, the last time I went there, I watched Liverpool play you guys, was when we beat you 2-0. And I was right in the shed. And I have never had to be like... the acting I did, I could have got an Oscar. I was like, for God's sake.
Wow. Listen, that's brave. No,
but the thing is, I went to get up to chair. So I went, oh, God's sake.
You forgot yourself. You started it out because to do that at the shed end, you might not come out. That is so funny. No, I'm not doing that with you, man. I'm not doing that.
I'll behave. I'll just stay perfectly still. So if we score, I'll be like this.
Oh, all right. We'll see. I'm gonna ask for tickets.
Thank you.
So Monday motivation, Dre, what you do? What you up to for the rest of the week? What's right, your Monday motivation?
It is more NFL stuff. We've got the playoffs, not playoffs. So NBA, we've got the playoffs coming, looming now.
Oh, you do NBA as well. That's cool.
Yeah, NBA, NFL. So NFL is off season now. So it's like our transfer window. So right now in the NFL, it's pretty much like the period of time when it's like July and August, when it's just like the last minute moves are happening. So it's quite exciting time because we've got the draft coming up soon. So it never ends. You think the season ends, but it never seems to. But yeah, bar that, then there's lots of exciting things that I've got coming up, especially something where I believe that you featured in any just accidentally when we did our first ever show when I was recording with Vodafone.
What's that?
Yeah, we did the behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. That behind the scenes. Is that coming out this week?
That's coming out. That's coming out.
Nice. I made my little cameo.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, we've got the football blacklist on Wednesday, which will be nice. Great. So that's a celebration of all the amazing work done in football community and in the black community. So go into that. And that's it, really. I've got quite a quiet week this week. I suppose my motivation is just to catch up on, you know, when we're so busy and you just have loads of admin, like you've got accounting and
yeah, you have to catch up on all that. That stuff is the most important thing.
I've got a pile of letters that just haven't been opened. So I've got to do like little things like my gas bill and my electricity bill that I've just left. And so I've got to do that at some point this week. Yeah. So that's kind of like my
nice chilled week. You're not flying all around the world as you normally are.
I'm not flying all around the world. No.
Any representing in the what's it called? The best? Was it the trophy? Oh. And any presenting award? Like I was just like,
that's my girl. I was quite nervous. All I had to do was walk out and read the winner. But Messi was literally like in my eye line.
Just watching you.
Right there, watching me, judging me. You know, judging my dress and my everything. So, yeah, I was nervous. But, you know, I did it. Emi Martinez won.
You killed it.
Shook his hand, you know. Rocked out there with my heels and did my thing.
You look great. You killed it.
Thank you, Jay.
You killed it. You were natural. Oscar's next.
I'm not giving out an award at Blacklist, so I'm just going to turn up, you know, look good and take a picture and enjoy.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to be the person who, you know, is the bar, the standard when it comes to the red carpet or whatever carpet they have, black carpet.
I actually don't know what I'm wearing on Wednesday. I've got to figure out what I'm wearing. That's a good point, actually.
We'll be looking out. Look out for that.
Yeah. Well, Dre, it's been fun.
All right, guys. Well, thanks again for tuning in. And then, as we said, every other week, we will be discussing, you know, what are our predictions, our takes, our reckless talk, and obviously the results as well.
We've got an international week coming up, so I think next one we'll probably be looking at England, talking about the England team. So
100% go into that. My God, I've got a lot to say of that. Definitely.
Yeah, me too. And we'll check that out. Thank you, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.